in the night. Your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello, and welcome to Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It's Friday, April 19th, and it's Tortured Poets Department Day.
Happy new Taylor Swift album day to burr, 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 burr. All to celebrate.
Yeah, this is, we're recording it before we've heard it, because we record them by in now, advance. We're not live.
Will have listened to it, probably, by the time people are hearing this, I definitely will have listened to it at least two times all the way through.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I'm planning on it midnight.
Well, and we get
if I'm awake, which I will be. I'm
midnight Eastern, so it's 11 Central. So
oh, even better. Yes,
so
okay, we get
plenty of time. And there's some people. We'll see if by the time y'all hear this, some of the sleuthing Swifties think that there will be a 2 a.m. version that will get released like 2 hours after. So it would be like 1 o'clock our time with like remixes or different additions or whatever on Spotify. So
like what happened with midnights? Why we'll 2 a.m. and not 3?
Because she's been dropping a lot of twos recently. The number two has been in the clocks. Yeah. yes, she's been all about the twos.
Oh, not like in videos she's posted and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, and like images, the jewelry she's wearing, like a choker, imagery, all kinds of stuff in the Easter egg ways.
Or what if?
It's a double album.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, pretty much the 3 a.m. edition, there was like 8 more songs.
That's true, yeah.
On a 12-song track. Yeah, I know.
And then it's like also, oh, and then there's like 15 vault tracks, and every album has like 4 bonus songs. She has written so many songs, just the ones we know about.
So many.
Every time I'm like, it's amazing to me that any one person can have that many songs in their head to write. Like that kind of talent where like, you're just a poet and you can just like write all these songs that like You're Losing Me was a vault track, but that's just sitting in the vault and you're like,
you just sat on that.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, that's like most people would like kill for a hit like that. And I'm no shade at her. I'm saying like, I'm just constantly blown away by how talented she is. So,
oh, it is amazing. Well, here we are. Hopefully the record's good. What? There's no way it's not good.
What is it? Not going to be? Yeah. Even if it was like silence for 4 hours, people would be like, this is breathtaking. What a fucking artistic piece this was.
She curated the silence so good. It's extra special silence.
If you listen at 2 minutes on every track, the silence gets more silent.
It gets quieter somehow. Yeah. You don't think it can, but it's somehow she does. It does. Yeah. Oh, well, for our non-Swifties, now you know, if whenever you have a coworker or somebody and you're like, I don't know what to talk to them about. Taylor, if they like Taylor Swift, it's something to talk about. It's in the zeitgeist there for you. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about some odd but true things. A couple of odd but true things that happened. Turns out they're putting a train on the moon. And we talked about the time zone, but now there's going to be a moon train. So we won't spend too much time talking about the moon train here, but we're for damn sure adding it to the full moon energy tour.
Oh, yeah.
Starting next month, we're going to be starting out in St. Louis, Chicago, Milwaukee, and then going on from there all summer long. So if you have not gotten your tickets, go to sinisterhood.com/live shows. And here, jump on the moon train because it's coming. We don't really have trains in America, but we're going to have one on the moon.
Yeah. And we also don't have free healthcare or for most people in America, but by God, we're going to have a train on the moon.
We will have a moon train and it will be ours. So anyhow, come see us on the road and we'll talk to you about moon train and all the other, there's some more moon news that's come out, but we're saving the moon for the stage. We're saving the odd but true stories for today because you have curated quite a lineup for us of inexplicable and shocking odd but true tales.
Always. It's never a shortage. So that's, I don't know if it's good or bad, but it's for us, I mean, I think it's good. Everybody gets to release. It's very cathartic. It's also just a constant reminder of like, man, everybody out there is going through something. So just keep that in mind when you're talking with people on a daily basis. Everybody's got their own Freaky Friday story that they're sitting on, some more heinous than others.
Yeah, that you won't know about until you connect with them or until you tune in and they've turned it into us so that we can read it for you. That's the magic of the catharsis of the storytelling.
It is. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Mel, and it's called Horror Movie Meet Cute. Hello, fellow Texan ladies. I'm such a big fan. Y'all are such a joy to listen to every week. I tell everyone that will listen that y'all are my podcast friends, but in the least creepy way possible. So, to my meet cute. I live in San Antonio, Texas, on the south side, so I am no stranger to gunshots and helicopters roaming the skies. We lock our gates and just make sure we're vigilant. Well, our block had been experiencing a slew of car break-ins. They were checking cars to see if they were locked and stealing all the stuff from the inside of those that weren't. My neighbors had warned me to pull in my car and work van into my gated yard, just in case. My van is such a hassle to get in and out of my gate, but knowing that I sometimes forget to lock my van, okay, fine, it's more than sometimes, to be honest, I knew it was a good idea. I am an abnormally light sleeper, and I will wake up to sounds that I know are out of place. That night, the first night I bring in my vehicles, I had set my AC window unit to eco mode. Why? I don't know. So instead of the steady sound of my AC all night in my room, it would turn off occasionally, allowing the sounds from outside to creep in. So of course, I wake up in the middle of the night to the sound of my gate clanging. How I know it was my gate? I have no clue, but I knew. I instantly jump out of bed and run to my living room to get a better view of my gate. I look through the window and I see my gate-mounted motion-activated light on and a man on the other side messing with my gate lock. It is 4 a.m. I immediately turn on my porch light and see this blurry figure stand straight up and stop moving. He's blurry because my bitch ass is ridiculously blind and I did not grab my glasses when I sprung to action. So there we are, me looking at him through my living room window and him looking at me through my gate. The definition of a horror movie meet cute. I thought for sure he's gonna bolt, but to my complete horror, this dumbass stays there. He is watching me watch him. I immediately sprint back to my room. I have a small house, don't worry, it took less than a minute, and grab my phone and glasses. Something tells me to call 911. So I do, and explain that there's someone at my gate trying to get in. The operator asks me to see if he's still there. I go to the window and look out again, and see that this Edgar-looking motherfucker is now in my yard, in the shadows, staring at me. I scream, "He's in my yard!" as I rush to the kitchen and find my biggest knife. I let my dogs out of their kennels, a pit bull and a poodle. The poodle is the one you should be afraid of. And face the living room door and brace for a fucking fight. The operator lets me know that cops are on the way and just hangs up on me. Okay. I call my cousin who lives a street away and he is at my house in record time. I look out the window again and I don't see the cuh-looking burglar. My cousin waits outside my gate until the cops come and investigate my yard. They look all around and confirm with me that no one was in the yard. I ended up sleeping at my cousin's house that night, because fuck that. 2 days later, my AC is still on eco mode, and I hear someone walking on gravel. It's 4 a.m. Now, I don't have gravel, but my neighbors do, on their driveway. I immediately get up and straight up open my window with my lights on. It looks over my neighbor's driveway. I hear running and loud whispering, and I think, I'm gonna scare these bitches. So I grab my van keys and set the alarm off. I can see them running down the street on my newly installed cameras. I call the cops and tell them the street these kids are running to. I can see them getting into a Suburban with the lights off. In record time, the cops are there. It's like they knew. The next day, I get a call from the officer that took my report and asked if I can identify the kid that jumped my fence. I, of course, say yes. That kid's face is etched into my cornea. They told me I would get a call to come into the station later. I never got the call, but the break-in stopped and everyone's unlocked cars were safe once more. In my Delulu brain, it was me. I took them down. I am Batman. So stay vigilante. Not a typo. Take justice into your own hands. Grab your glasses, knife, and dogs. But most importantly, keep your AC on eco mode. Love y'all, Mel.
Full of good advice here, Mel. And we had to Google what this cuh-looking, when you said it was C-U-H, cuh-looking motherfucker and Edgar-looking, these have not made it to North Texas. Because San Antonio, for those of you who don't know, very South Texas. It's like the distance between London and Paris. Like, it's not impossible to get between the two, but they're a little different. And it's a haircut.
Like a 5.5-6 hour drive.
Yeah, yeah. It's a certain type of a haircut that's popular in this area. Maybe that'll be our image on social media, is the cuh haircut. Yeah. But I guess it's from a rapper who said cuh, cuh, cuh a lot in his songs. To me, it looks like a chili bowl, kind of a little bit puffier, larger. But I can see how it would be like Gen Zers are like rocking mullets now. I can see how a lot of kids growing up I knew had haircuts like that. And I was like, oh, that's back? Good for you, kids.
All comes back around.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, kids don't want to mess with their hair. So they're like, whatever, I'll just roll out of bed. I at first was like, Edgar, is that a vampire?
Edward.
Then cult looking, I was like, sometimes I'm like, well, grandma's got to Google what these hip new words
computer, what do the slang terms mean? Explain them to me in plain English, because I do need that explained to me. But that is getting eye contact from a person in your front yard at 4 a.m.
No. My God. No, and especially if they're bold enough to, once they know that you've seen them, to just lean in. They don't run.
They get closer.
Yeah, no, then that's extra scary, because you're like, oh, they didn't come to fuck around and they don't care that somebody's here.
It's like, I don't like that at all. Mm-mm. But especially, yeah, any time in the night where it's like crunch, 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 or like any of those horror movie sounds, you're like, that's why I'm trying to leave my air conditioner on full blast all night. But if you're trying to stay vigilante, you do got to keep it on eco mode just in case you need to. It's like the bat signal in the night.
You never know. I've started a new sleep routine where I got it looks like a VR mask, but it's a massager that massages like your temples and sinus points, and also there's heat, and also you can play music. It's like nature sounds and stuff. So I've got that, and then I got my earbuds in with like meditation music.
Nice.
I have no idea what's going on around me.
And
several times now, like today, Tommy, I was taking a nap and he's like, babe. And like through binaural beats, I can just hear like, babe, babe. I'm like, what is happening? I can't see anything. I was like, somebody could break in and steal everything we own. And I wouldn't even know, because I've just got like,
it's like sensory deprivation.
Yeah. I've got nature sounds on and I'm just getting my head massaged. So I'm like, take whatever you want. It's fine.
You're going to have to smell for them.
Please.
Yeah, leave the kids. But yeah, the only way is if they smell. Then you'll be like, "That's somebody's in the house." Because otherwise, your eyes and ears are covered up. But
yeah. I'm taking my life into my own hands. I mean, tonight I do this, but it has made me sleep so much harder and fall asleep so much faster. So I guess this TikTok purchase working. Was worth it.
I got TikTok influence. I got a Med Klein side sleeper with the wedge with the arm.
Oh, has it come in yet?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I don't wake up at all. I haven't tossed nor turned. It said, I told Paris, it's like a hug from a big puffy cloud. We got the Helix mattress underneath, and then I have my Helix pillow on my other wedge. Well, now I have this like body pillow in the front of me. I'm like wedged in.
Does Paris sleep on the floor?
No, he's got plenty of room. It's just exactly enough. It takes up just enough room.
If he lays on his side and doesn't move, he's got plenty of room for the whole night.
Honestly, I got to put that big body pillow because he flip-flops. And were it not for the Helix mattress, no, this isn't an ad for them. I'm just saying, if it weren't for the motion transfer, I wouldn't sleep at all, because he does like, he'll like flip to turn. But I'm in like a puffy cloud, so I don't know. He'll figure it out. He sleeps over on the side somewhere. It's great. But all that to say is, if somebody was standing in my front yard like this situation, I'm not sure that I would hear it. I don't know that I would.
No, I don't know.
The dogs certainly would.
Yeah, I was going to say, you get a pit bull and a poodle, and
especially the poodle.
Yeah, they'll let you know real fast.
They're evil as hell.
Mel, I'm glad your horror movie meet cute didn't end up like most horror movies. And right. you were the final girl. You made it out.
Yes. And congrats on solving that crime in your neighborhood. It sounds like it was all you.
Yeah. I mean, truly. Yeah. You are Batman. Don't let anybody tell you different.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
There are so many reasons that we all may go through hair thinning and shedding, and some reasons we don't even think about. We're like, we all know, like, well, you know, stress, things like that. But hormones, aging, postpartum, all of those things are also the root cause of why your hair might start to thin.
I didn't even consider that, but like, I remember a lot of times whenever I was like working multiple jobs or stuff, I would notice I would shed more, especially if I was like eating a bunch of like junk food all the time or like mm-hmm. doing a bunch of takeout or drive-thrus and stuff. And I did not realize, I was like, oh, I need a holistic response to this shedding, because it's not just something wrong with my hair or my head. It is a whole body thing to address. And that's the magic of Nutrafol.
Yeah, I used to flat iron my hair so much, and that would cause so much breakage, and then wearing a ponytail too tight mm-hmm. and just stuff like that. Like, even things like that that you might not consider, all of those things are reasons that you might be experiencing hair thinning.
Yeah, and Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding.
Your hair is never just about your hair, and Nutrafol knows that. That's why Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to hair health, addressing the problems inside to help hair grow on the outside, supporting your lifestyle, not just your hairstyle.
Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair, and for a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code CREEPY.
Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code CREEPY.
That's Nutrafol.com, promo code CREEPY.
Well, this next one is from Anne. And speaking of things happening when you're just trying to vibe and relax, the title of this one is, "A Man Let Himself Into My Apartment While I Was Taking a Bubble Bath." Hi, Christy and Heather. Love your show. I'm writing in today to offer a lesson on door locking. My best friend, who we'll call Lynn, and I grew up together in a small town in Oklahoma. When we graduated high school and it was time to head off to college, we ended up going to different schools. I moved to Norman, Oklahoma. Luckily, Lynn's chosen college was also in Oklahoma, so we were still close enough for frequent weekend visits. She even started dating a boy who went to my university, so she ended up spending quite a lot of time in Norman. I had a college boyfriend, too. He was very much the thoughtful, romantic type. One day, I'd had a really tough day for some reason I can no longer remember, and he came over to my apartment to lend some sympathy and care. He had a key to my place, so he let himself in. He ran a bubble bath for me, had me get in, and he sat down in the bathroom with me to read a book out loud to me while I relaxed in the tub. Like I said, he was a thoughtful guy. However, thoughtful doesn't necessarily translate to mindful. And as we were both in the bathroom, we heard my apartment entrance door open, then slam shut, and heard someone walking inside. My boyfriend had not locked the door behind him after he'd let himself in. My boyfriend and I made panicked eye contact. He said, "Stay here," and left the bathroom to go out front and see what was going on. I was terrified, naked in the bathtub. I almost couldn't have been in a more vulnerable position. I stood up and got out of the tub and wrapped a towel around my bubble-covered body as I heard my boyfriend say to someone, "Hey man, take it easy." My heart rate was a million beats per minute, and it was like my thoughts went blank. I had no course of action in mind, but I peered out the bathroom door to see my boyfriend, who was a small guy, pinning a much larger man against the wall of my living room. It was my best friend Lynn's boyfriend. He and I lived in the same apartment complex, and we were friendly, but not really friends, and I certainly wasn't expecting him, so it was a surprise to see him. But also, in this particular situation, a relief that it wasn't some robber or murderer. My boyfriend and Lynn's boyfriend had never met before, so my poor guy had no idea what was going on. As soon as I realized who it was, I said to my boyfriend, I know him. It's okay. I know him. Once we calmed down and the situation was under control and we realized we weren't going to die that night, Lynn's boyfriend, who was absolutely wasted, explained through slurred speech that he was just here looking for Lynn. He had somehow gotten the idea in his mind that night that she was over at my place. I think they'd gotten in a fight and she was ignoring his calls, but she wasn't in town and she definitely wasn't at my apartment. We let him cry and whine a little bit before my boyfriend kindly offered to walk him back to his apartment. I called Lynn to tell her what happened, and she was, of course, very embarrassed and apologetic. I am thankful for the way my boyfriend handled the situation, though technically it was kind of his fault for, you know, leaving my door unlocked. Another detail just to top off this strange story. Lynn's boyfriend must have freed himself from his apartment sometime later that night, pulled a handicap parking post out of the ground, and placed it in front of my apartment door. A cop ended up knocking on my door to say a neighbor had reported it and asked if I knew what it was all about. I just told the cop I had no idea, but in my mind, I assumed it was Lynn's boyfriend's doing. I later confirmed it was in fact him, though he never could explain why he chose to do such a weird thing. Neither of the guys in the story are in our lives anymore, though Lynn did continue to date her boyfriend for far too many years after the incident. A few months ago, I got to stand by her at the altar as she married her now husband, a great man who would never do a drunken, accidental B&E, and would also never leave a vandalized parking sign at a doorstep like some kind of demented cat offering a dead bird. I'm single, but if I do find someone to date and eventually give an apartment key to, you best believe I will be handing that key over only under the condition that he promises to always, always lock my door behind him.
Yeah, and that is like, it's one thing to have an, what was that noise? But to do it while you're naked in the bathtub, it's so much worse. Because it's just such an extra vulnerable moment. Yeah. And to hear him go, hey, take it easy, big fella. You're like, what's going on?
No, because in your head, you're like, fuck, I got to get all these bubbles off of me. And then I got to get dressed. I'm always...
I can't fight naked. I can, but I don't want to.
I will. I do not. I always think about that. Like, what if some shit happens in the middle of the night and I just got to run out and I'm like in my PJs, like, you know,
that's why I sleep in hockey, full just, hockey gear, just ready.
You're always ready to go. I mean, I guess if that's the case, what you're wearing is probably the last thing you're worried about. But if you hear a guy in your apartment and you're naked in a bath, you are like, oh, fuck. But luckily, your boyfriend, who sounds very thoughtful, and I'm glad that you enjoy that. But if Tommy ever tried to sit in the bathroom while I was taking a bubble bath and read aloud to me,
no way.
I would popple myself down the drain.
Oh, no. I was like, that sounds great. What book is it? No. I would be so into that.
I would not be so into that.
Just be like,
I want my own time. I don't.
Well, I mean, sometimes I want my own time. But if it was like a special, like, let's hang out together. I'd be like, all right. I have a good bathtub. It'd be fun. Good vibes. Depends, though, I mean, on what book it is. Like I said, I don't want him to be like, hey, I'm going to read you this book on cults. But if it was like a very poetic, lovely room, I'm down to clown.
I'm still out. But I also just don't like being read to. So maybe that's why. But I'm glad that it was calm for a moment before the complete opposite kicked in. But it ended up being an kind of an honest mistake, but what is with the parking
sign? The sign. I can't.
That's so crazy.
You're right, and it's like a weird cat that's like, I got you this sign. And you're like, well, you also broke in and scared the shit out of my roommate. So
this only made things worse. Yeah, I don't know what you're like. Order me some food. Leave a pizza on my doorstep.
Some candy, a card, an edible arrangement. I don't need a defaced, vandalized sign to where I'm going to have to talk to a security guard or a cop now. And like, I didn't even do it. Nah, man. I'm glad for Lynn. Shout out to Lynn's new husband. I'm glad that she found somebody that ain't going to go be like, I love you so much. I'm going to rip a sign out of the ground for you. We don't need love like that. We need sweet, kind love. Not vandal love.
Well, thank you so much, Anne, for sending that in. This next one's from Erica, and it is called Girlies, Trust Your Gut. Hello to my gorgeous, amazing, hilarious besties. I refuse to skip over gushing about the peacefulness you each bring me. I am a family lawyer in Australia, which, as I am sure you can understand, exposes me to just a lot. Your joyous friendship, coupled with your intelligent and simply real views and discussions around some of the awful things I see in action every day, help me to process and feel less alone in my head. You are truly a coping mechanism for me, and I couldn't be more thankful to have found you both. Please keep it up for all eternity. Promise? I just listened to your crossover episode on And That's Why We Drink, episode 228, My Other Besties, and got to hear Heather say you'd put in your notice. I hope the journey has been nothing short of soul-filling and that it has lit up your life the way you both do mine. I have two stories about times in my life when my body knew something my brain didn't, and it may have saved some lives, and me some trauma. Who needs more of that? The first was when I was about 11 and could possibly be attributed to just a sensible distrust of strangers, with some instincts sprinkled in. Myself and a friend were leaving a local carnival ground in charge of my friend's two much younger siblings, around 4 and 6. This was the time when white vans were practically an epidemic and a spooky story around the schoolyard. The younger brother, 4, was walking ahead of us into a cul-de-sac, carrying a plastic mini bowling kit he had won. There was a white van stopped with its nose facing the carnival ground, engine running. It had opaque windows and none on the van itself. The 4 of us were chatting excitedly, but I couldn't seem to look away from this car. The van was idling to our right as the driver's side door opened, the younger brother no more than 10 meters away, roughly 30 feet. I Googled. He was a wisp of a thing, distracted by the toy in his hands. 17 years later, and I can recall with shivering clarity the bald man who emerged from that vehicle, half hanging out the door. He wore a mid-blue t-shirt with dark sunglasses on his head, sharp cheekbones framing pale eyes, focused on a little boy walking far too close to him and certainly too far away from us. "What have you got there?" he called, his tone brazen and dripping in something sinister, even to my preteen ears. He motioned my friend's younger brother closer, asking, "Come show me. Can I see?" The boy looked up and took a step towards him, called by the Pied Piper. Hot electricity shot through my body, from my fingertips to my toes. Something was wrong. The sensation seemed to scream. Cliche, I know, but time moved in slow motion. My friend hadn't realized, talking with her sister. I was usually a child with nothing but deference to adults, who presumed they all had an insurmountable authority, far greater than mine. Against my nature, but without forethought, a resounding "Stop!" broke its way past my lips. Seal broken, I screamed, "Run! Just run!" My outburst had been unexpected, the man's eyes snapping up to mine. The 4 of us moved in unison, as fast as our legs could take us, the younger brother without hesitation racing back to us as we bolted up the street. The man barked an expletive I can't remember and reared back into the van, slamming the driver's side door. Even now, I'm hit by a wave of nausea as I think of how he peeled around the cul-de-sac and sped out of the street, out of our sight within seconds. I can't help but think he represented exactly the kind of danger my body seemed to sense from the way he fled the scene. I am very glad, though, that we will never really know. The second story took place many years later, in my early 20s, and on a small tour in Morocco. It is such a beautiful country with a rich and warm culture. I highly recommend visiting if it isn't on your list. I was with a contingent of 3 other new friends made during the trip. We were leaving an old market square in the evening, walking in pairs, myself and another side by side and slightly ahead. We were on a footpath bracketed by a flat-faced brick building on our right, probably 4 stories high, the same on the other side of the road. I think they were apartments with French-style windows, large glass panes framed in wood and thrown open to let the warm evening air inside. The usual city cacophony bounced between the buildings on each side of us, muffled by our distance from the square. There was truly nothing strange or untoward, no new sounds or change in the air. I can't even point to a particular sensation that hit me. But for whatever reason, I just had to abruptly halt my walking and stretch an arm out to stop my friend from doing the same. And thank goodness she did. Barely seconds later, before anyone could even ask why we had stopped, glass and aged wood shattered on the ground at our feet. We looked up to see a woman aghast, hanging out of a window 3 stories above us. It appeared that the hinges on the window had simply given out, and the panel had plummeted to the stone pavement below, exactly where we would have been walking, had I not had the instinct to simply stop. We were all stunned into silence. After a few moments of reconciling what we had just seen, we walked around the shattered window and continued out to the square, to then get in the middle of a screaming match between 2 taxi drivers winning our business. So, it was that kind of night. I can't imagine and don't want to what would have happened if the window had landed on top of us. After that event, I'd like to think I'm either A, hella tuned into the universe, or B, have a guardian angel, most likely in my dad, who passed away when I was 16. Christy, if you've read this, and even if it doesn't make it on the podcast, thank you for lending me your ear. If this does end up on the pod, my soul may leave my body. Time will tell. For no particular reason, I have attached some pickies of my pups for your viewing pleasure. Love you ladies lots, and thank you again and always for everything.
Well, Erica, I'm never going to say no to a dog picture. What a beautiful pup you have.
This is love it.
Husky, they're both. Husky mix. Oh, yeah. German Shepherdish looking. Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Fluffy. Good. They look like a stuffies, you know? Like
yes.
I love a dog like that.
In fact, Ella has a husky stuffy that looks very much like this dog. Oh, and thank you also for your sincerely sweet and kind words. That means a ton to us. So thank you so much. And thank you for
so kind.
Just being like, something doesn't feel right here, and I'm about to say something.
Yeah, in both of those cases, just almost like your gut is like, you don't even stop to think, which I think in a lot of those cases where it's gut instinct based, thinking gets in the way. It's on High Fidelity when he's like, my gut has shit for brains. I'm like, my brain has shit for brains sometimes, but my gut's pretty much always spot on. Mm-hmm. So that eerie, like, oh, hey, little boy, let me come see your toy. That sickly sweet and sinister is just such a, you're a great writer, Erica, first of all, too. I really felt like I could picture all this, but that you're like, not on my watch. Even though you're a kid who's like, oh, grownups have all the answers. It's like, but this, something's fishy about this grownup.
Yeah. I thought that was a really good point because I remember being young, a young kid too, and also just assuming that like all adults were in charge or right, even if they weren't your adult, if you were out somewhere, like if there was an issue, they would be the ones to jump in and help or like stand up for a kid if something's going wrong or something. And that just isn't the case. That's the naivety of a small child who still sees the world through rose-colored glasses. And then you're like, everybody's out to get you.
Yeah, or just out for themselves or whatever. Yeah. As a kid, though, you're like, oh, certainly anyone would help. I try to be the adult I thought that all adults were when I was a kid, of like, someone will take care of me, right? And I'm like, yeah, that's not my kid, but I'll say something, you know, or like, here's a dollar, whatever, you know. But back when you're a kid, you really do think we're all great, and it's not true. And in fact, the direct opposite, if there's a van with its engine idling, trying to actively lure a child into it
that has no windows, you just got like the windshield and the one next to
what
the driver
there? I don't like that.
It's just windowless. I hate it.
0 out of 10. But yeah, and I think there's something to be said about either it being a guardian angel or just some sort of an instinct, even if it is whether it's on a metaphysical level of like, you know, we're all on a repeat and we've all been here and done this before and whatever, or it is just so happened that because you were like not cognizantly looking around, you heard a creak subconsciously that had you stop and you didn't even register it. Like your instincts were that good that you just heard like a, and it was like, something ain't right. Let's stop. That's
it's like the
either
first
way.
One. You're Batman. We got a lot of Batmans today. Yeah.
We have a lot of vigilantes today. Well, either way, you're a hero 2 times over, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Then thank you for the doggy pictures.
Yeah, thanks for the dog pictures. And like Christy said, for the kind words. We do appreciate you. Sinister Hood will be right back. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences. And we were just talking about it during the show. We'll talk about it during the ad, too.
You might be so comfortable that you don't realize that your husband's trying to wake you up, or your kids are like yelling for you, or somebody's knocking on your door trying to open your gate at 4 a.m. because that's how comfortable you are.
It's so good that when we talk about we're traveling and it's like, well, we could stay an extra night in a hotel. It's like, no, send me home early because I want to be back in my Helix mattress. Mm-hmm. And that is a true thing that we say when we are planning our trips.
Yes. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers and even a mattress made just for kids. Ella has one. It's great. We lay with her every night. You know, she's falling asleep, so we want something that's nice, too. And I can't complain. The pillows that she got with it, so comfy. Like, the whole setup is just a vibe.
It's fantastic. My niece sleeps on a Helix mattress, too. I checked in. I'm like, you like your mattress? She said, I love my bed. So that's what I want to hear. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That is why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10- to 15-year warranty for you and your child to try out your new Helix mattresses.
Every body is unique, so whether you're side, back, stomach sleeper, all of the above, Helix offers a mattress for you. Plus, they have enhanced cooling features. It's already getting warmer than I would like here, and it's just gonna keep getting hotter. So the enhanced cooling feature is essential for places like Texas. It helps regulate your body temperature, but also whatever the season. It just, you know, it's like
it feels good.
You're always the perfect temperature no matter what's going on outside.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of perfect, the setup, fast and easy. Helix mattresses are perfectly delivered to you in a box straight to your door for free. And by supporting Helix, you're allowing them to support us and our show.
Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/creepy and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
This next one is from my sweet daughter, Anonymous, and the subject line is, Honey, I think you got scammed. Hello, ladies. You all are so incredible, and I admire your kindness, intelligence, humor, and dedication to the pod. Thank you so much for making my 5:30 a.m. wake-ups on Wednesdays and Fridays a little easier. This story is my brush with true crime, but not the murdery stalker type of true crime. This summer, I became a victim of financial fraud, and I thought it may be helpful to share my story because I suffered, and still do, from a lot of guilt and shame. Hopefully, I can help someone else out there feel less alone. One day at work, I received an email from the owner of the company I work for, asking me to confirm my cell number to him. My job is not the typical 9-to-5, and I work in healthcare, so it is not uncommon to text your bosses after hours. So I thought nothing of this and sent him my number. He then texted me that he needed me to run an errand for him and that I was allowed to leave early for the day. It was about 10:30 a.m. at this point. Being new to the job, about 2 months in, I just wanted to do what I was told. So I told my manager, Hey, Don told me he needs me to run some errands for him and to leave early today. And I left, no questions asked. He then began frantically texting me, saying, go to the store and get gift cards. I will be giving them to all the managers at each clinic. I will reimburse you via Venmo. So I got them. Three $200 gift cards to eBay, like he asked. He then asked me to send him the gift card codes and the receipts to prove I bought them. About 20 minutes later, he was frantically texting again, Anonymous, you have to go and get more gift cards. So again, I did. Three more $200 gift cards. Later, it happened again. Another $600 later, I was annoyed at my boss. Can't he do this himself? This whole situation was weird to me. So I called my dad, who has been a manager at a bank for 25 years. He agreed that it was weird and to advocate for this to be done on company time and to ask my boss to respect my personal boundaries. After all, this isn't a part of my job in the slightest. He asked again for the fourth time. Again, this was the owner of the company, so I treaded lightly and politely stated, I'm willing to do more of these company errands with the company card and on my contracted hours, which he initially argued with, but I stood my ground. Later that night, my dad called me and asked if I ever talked to my boss about this directly, via phone or in person. I didn't. This is when I fell apart. My dad said, "I think this is a scam. Honey, I think you got scammed out of that money." He was right. That was not my boss. It was a total stranger who hacked our system and got my email while the owner of the company was away on vacation. I burst into tears and didn't stop until I laid down on my bed to sleep that night. How could I be this stupid? Why am I so dumb? What am I going to do? I lost $1,800 and I had just started working full-time 3 months ago. I didn't have a lot of money. I was beyond embarrassed, ashamed, and depressed. I called my manager, who is incredibly kind, and I just cried into the phone. She was wonderful and kept saying, "I will take care of it. Shit happens, we'll figure it out." Not many managers will answer the phone at 9 p.m., especially when they have to work at 5:30 a.m. the next day. Fast forward a bit. My company was amazing about the whole situation and never made me feel bad for this. They even replaced all $1,800, which I am incredibly grateful for, as I am at the bottom of the pecking order in terms of salary. I later found out that many people I know have also had these scams happen to them, but they were too embarrassed or ashamed to talk about it, just like me. After talking about it with friends and family and going to therapy to overcome the shame I felt, I realized I was not dumb. I was a victim of a crime. One night, I had a breakdown, and my mom said to me, "You would never blame another woman for being a victim, so why would you blame yourself?" And she is so right. If you have been the victim of a financial crime, do not blow it off and think it was just a financial crime and not a real one. That is a real crime, and it affects real people. Do not be ashamed if you've had this or something similar happen to you. It does not define you. I highly recommend seeing a therapist about it if that's something you're into.
Good for your parents for being so supportive and like not shaming and just really kind and understanding that this really affected you and like just being there for you, because I think it is easy a lot of times for people in these with these types of crimes for other people to be like, "What? You went around and did all that and lost $1,800. It's like, at the time, like you said, "I'm trying not to get fired. I just got this job. Yes. I want to be impressed." You think it's the boss. Like, you're just doing what you think is right. And then, and that's, and they do get you like so frantic and worked up that it happens so fast. Because if you had enough time to sit and think about it, you might be like, "This sounds fishy." So, I mean, it's intentional how they go about it. And you definitely, there's nothing, you should not be ashamed about this happening. Like you always say, if a snake is going to bite somebody, you just happen to walk by.
For sure. And I'm glad that the company was understanding and reimbursed you and your manager was like, "Oh, we'll figure it out." But you're right. You, Christy, are right that like they get you so fast, because if you have 2 seconds to stop, an anonymous would have gone like, "Oh, hey, Karen, I have a quick question. Does Don ever send you out to buy gift cards?" Then Karen's going to go, "No, Don's on vacation. He's in Puerto Rico. Like, he's not even texting right now." Then you're like, "Oh, shit." So I feel like they get you in that, like, go right now where the cops are on their way. The IRS is on their way. The sheriff is coming, whatever, to, like, work you up of, like, "It's an emergency, new employee, and I'll fire you if you don't." So it's good, Anonymous. I'm glad you wrote to us, and I'm glad we can share and just spread more awareness of, like, my thing is, unless it is a, if you text me, I mean, you, Christy, text me and said, "Hey, I need to get a gift card for Tommy. And will you send me the code of the gift card?" I would literally be like, "I'm going to FaceTime you." Like, I'm not trying to sound crazy. Or I would ask you a trick question that only you would know the answer to.
Right.
Because it really is like,
what a weird thing for me to ask, too.
Exactly. So, like, where it would be, that's not strange.
Yeah, it's not that's completely not something that would normally happen.
No, not at all. But or if you, you know, if you said, "Hey, buy me a gift card for Tommy. You know, it's an event or something, or we need it for the. Can you run an errand for? We run errands for each other. That's fine. But like when it's like anything gift card and anything scratching off and giving numbers, just a PSA, blanket PSA for future. Like you could anonymous couldn't have known this, but now going forward, it's like we all know this. Anything gift card related, your radar should be up and going. I'm gonna need to know for sure this is you. And forgive me for being paranoid. And I think real, like, if you really need me to get you something and I said, I'm going to make sure it's you, you wouldn't be like, it doesn't matter, Heather. It doesn't matter if it's me. Yeah. Just bring me the gift.
Just give me the coat. Give
here's
me the
a selfie. Like, I'm on the toilet. Here's a selfie or whatever. I'm like, why can't you FaceTime me right now? You know, just some sort of like proof of life. So I think this is very generous of you, Anonymous, to take the shame and guilt that you were harboring and transform it into something positive and something of a PSA of like, if anybody asks you ever anybody to buy a gift card, don't give them the number, only physically hand it to them in person.
Yes. That's why you get the little printout of the receipt that has the number and then you put it in the card with it. But
because it's hard.
I agree, Anonymous. Good for you for going to therapy about this and not minimizing it and understanding that this was traumatic for you and seeking help for that and then sharing your story to help others, because it does happen so often. And I think a lot of people are embarrassed to say something or they just think it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. So good for you.
Yeah. And I always hate to see people minimize something that happened to them because we don't know the untold effects that something happens until much later. And so to be like, oh, well, you know, I wasn't really harmed and attacked. I was just held up at knife point. That's fucking scary. You know, it's like, well, I wasn't really attacked. I was just like, you know, catfished and tricked and thought it was my boss. No, that sucks. That's violating. Like, these are real feelings that we have. And so we're not all in the pain Olympics and everybody's journey is different. So you're totally valid. And I'm glad you shared. Thank you very much. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. This next one is from Snossage, and the subject line is Dreams and Feelings from the Other Side. And a content warning, this involves suicide. Hi, Heather and Christy. I want to start by saying how much I love the podcast. I'm a new listener and have been binging during housework, homework, and my lunch breaks. I've been a true crime fanatic since I was a young child, but after having my son in January 2023, I had to take a break. The care you put in telling these stories and hearing your raw emotions when telling them have allowed me space to engage with the content again, and I am so very thankful. I've been listening to a ton of Freaky Friday episodes, and there are a ton of submissions about dreams from deceased loved ones. I've had this happen to me twice and wanted to share my story with everyone. A bit of background. My parents are very young. My mom was 16 and my stepdad was 21 when he met her. I was 4 months old, and for all intents and purposes, he is my dad. They had no support from their families and instead created their own family built from friendships. My dad in particular had two best friends, Matt and Nick. I referred to them as my uncles. They were the same age as my parents, and I bonded to both of them from a very young age. They would babysit me, we all lived together at one time, and every summer, they would be at our house having bonfires, going wheeling, and just hanging out. They were spontaneous and fun-loving and shaped my view on the world and the people around me. As a kid, I was unaware of addiction and mental illness and simply thought they were quirky. As I got older, I understood more and more that they both struggled. I remember feeling so sad that these people I loved so much felt so lonely and lost. By the time I turned 12, we saw them less and less, but I still loved them dearly. They called me Snossage and made me feel so special when they were around. When I was 15, about to begin my sophomore year of high school, my Uncle Matt completed suicide. I was absolutely shocked. It was the first time I had seen my dad cry. He and Matt had been friends for 30 years at this point. I'll never forget the morning I found out. My parents never allowed us to sleep in, like, ever. On this day, I woke up and it was 10 a.m. My house was oddly still and quiet, which never happened, as my dad is a busybody contractor, always working in his shop outside and playing music in the house. I heard the birds outside, and the sun was beaming through my windows. I walked out of my bedroom and into the living room, where my dad came and wrapped me in the tightest hug before telling me the horrible news. It was a sobering moment for me, as I had struggled with my own mental health for some time and had been in an outpatient therapy program due to my own attempt at suicide. I walked back to my bedroom, tears running down my face. I laid in my bed and cried myself back to sleep. My Uncle Matt was a transient for most of his life. My Uncle Matt was transient for most of his life by his own choice. He drove an 80s Ford Bronco and slept in it with his dog he lovingly named Bear. Matt was a lot of things, but clean was not one of them. He always smelled strongly of wet dog and a bit of armpit. When I was sleeping, he came to me in my dream. He was wearing his denim overalls, and we were walking in my neighborhood. The sun was out, and I was telling him that I loved him, and I really, really missed him already. He gave me a hug and said, "I'm finally okay, Snoss," before walking up the hill behind my house and into the sunlight. I immediately woke up, and all I could smell was his distinct wet dog armpit odor. I knew he had come to see me and to tell me he was all right. A few months later, my Uncle Nick had gotten out of prison. He and my dad were supposed to work together on a large house remodel, and I was excited to have sober Nick back in our lives. It was the night before going back to school after winter break. I've never had trouble sleeping, but that night, I didn't sleep at all until 4:21 in the morning. The day was completely normal. I was so excited to be turning 16 in a few weeks and to get my license. Nick was supposed to come over that week, and I hadn't talked to him since before he went to prison. I had a new boyfriend who I adored. I was truly on cloud nine. In high school, I had to pay for my own phone plan. I didn't have enough money to buy the data part of the plan, so I couldn't use social media until I got home from school. When I did get home and checked Facebook, my entire feed was family and friends of my parents posting their RIPs about Nick. I remember dropping my phone and thinking I was dreaming. No one had told me, and I was confused. Surely my parents would have told me that the person I was so close to had passed, right? No. I called my dad, who then screamed at me that he was, in fact, dead, and hung up. I dropped to the floor in my room and wailed. Nick and I were especially close when I was young, and I loved him so much. His son, who was 8 years younger than me, shared the same birthday as me. I felt so connected to him, and he adored me, calling me his daughter when he took me out. I remember my mom coming home and saying the worst things to me. He wouldn't be at my wedding, he wouldn't be there when I graduated, and he wouldn't be there when I had children one day. He was gone, died on impact in a car accident on his way to our house after fighting with his girlfriend. I started driver's ed the next day, and we were having a conversation about car accidents. A girl in my class had a dad who was a first responder. He shared that he had been at the scene of a horrible car versus tree accident. It was my uncle's. I burst into tears in the classroom, and her dad pulled me outside to chat with me. He informed me that Nick wouldn't have suffered due to the impact. The accident happened at 4:21 in the morning. A couple years later, I was 18 and very, very lost. My parents didn't talk much about grief, and my dad became more distant and angry after losing his two best friends within mere months of each other. I had rolled my car while crying on my way to work. The road I was on ran parallel to the road my uncle had passed on. It was one of the two back roads I could have taken to work. I was incredibly close to hitting a power pole with a transformer on it, which likely would have caught my car on fire, with me trapped in it upside down in a ditch. But I didn't, and I came out unscathed. My car had a couple dents, but ran great. I even had a box of glass dishes in the trunk that didn't break. After this, I went to have my tarot cards read professionally for the first time by a wonderful woman named Skeeter. In the middle of my reading, she stopped and became very serious. She told me that she's a medium, and while she doesn't advertise these services to the public, she was getting very strong messages from a male who she called my guardian angel. She told me that he said he was with me when I crashed my car. I had not told her about my grief or my car wreck, and I was absolutely shaken. She then asked me if Snossage meant anything to me, and told me that the man was lovingly referring to me as that. She said that he was a father figure and asked if my dad had passed away. But I knew it was Nick, keeping me safe and guiding me in my life. Tears came over me and my grief felt subsided. She then told me I would meet someone truly wonderful and to use caution if I didn't want children, as I would be incredibly fertile with this person. A few years later, I met my now husband. When I met him, his personality reminded me of a mix between both Nick and Matt. He was fearless, straightforward, and headstrong, just like Nick. He loved old Ford trucks and metal music, much like Matt. When I took him to meet my parents for the first time, my dad pulled me aside with tears in his eyes. He reminded my dad of his friends too, something I hadn't shared with my dad for fear of sounding crazy. My now husband and I share a son together, and when he was born, he had a stork bite on the back of his neck. At a year and a half, my son already loves old trucks and rock music. Being a grandpa has healed my dad's heart in many ways. My dad and my husband are best friends, spending their time together riding motorcycles and working on old vehicles. I believe that my sweet other half and my son were sent to me by my uncles, who knew how much my heart and my dad's needed them both. I don't know what really happens when we pass, but after all, we are all made of energy, which can't be destroyed. Part of me believes that our energy continues to float in this world, becoming part of nature and the stars, healing and guiding the people who come next. Thank you for reading this. I don't talk much about this with anyone, and I'm sitting in my car with happy tears in my eyes. I'm truly grateful to have known and loved these two men, and for the two men they brought to me. Best wishes, Snossage. P.S. I've attached a photo of my son with his dad and my dad with my uncles. I don't want these shared, but I just wanted to show you ladies these wonderful people. And this is Heather talking now. I'm obsessed with this picture of your
this
dad with your
little
uncles
baby.
And with this nugget.
Oh my goodness, those little cheekers.
Behind the wheel of a little truck, just like getting ready someday.
Little baby hands. Oh, they're little chunky fingers.
Just perfect.
I just love it so much. Yes.
Perfect little baby hands.
Oh, yes. I love them so
Snossage.
Much. Snossage. What a sweet, sweet relationship that you got to have with these two men that, you know, I think about that, like with you, like how my kids will think of you. And, you know, I mean, obviously, like you're very involved in their lives and see them all the time. So I love that they're going to get to grow up. And also it's important for kids to see like their parents have friends.
Yeah.
They're not just my mom and dad. Like they're they're their own people and have their own things they're interested in, too. So I love that your parents had these friends that got to be so important to you, too.
Most definitely. And you want to like tag along with them, like, oh, I want to listen to the music you listen to. Or, you like trucks. Oh, I want to know about trucks because you like trucks. So I love that. I think of that too. When I was a little kid, my mom's best friend's name was Lillian. And it was like her little running buddy and like, you know, just like besties. And as a kid, I would just be like, well, Lillian knows everything. she would. Like, she loved crossword puzzles. I love crossword puzzles. Nice. She loved a good word. She would be like, get a dictionary. Look that up. That's a good word. You should use that word more often. Because she liked to read and stuff like that. So she would have – so, like, there's little parts of us. I feel like we – as we grow, especially when we're little, we like take little pieces of others and like we become this kind of patchwork blanket. And so I think it's so beautiful that Snossage gets to have Snossage. Those, not only those like patches on her heart of like the Matt and Nick patch, but also now continue to pass that down even more. And that's how we truly never die. But it's funny you said that, Snossage, about energy cannot be created or destroyed. I read that John Green quote at my dad's funeral. And it's that definitely struck a chord with me. So I agree. And I think you're right. I think it a little bit more of themness kind of gets dispersed to other people. And if you're there to take it, it sounds like you've taken it. I love it.
I love that this medium straight up said, does Snossage mean anything to you? Because
it's crazy specific.
Very specific and bizarre thing. Because if she was like,
the medium's
no.
Like, yeah, the medium's like, I can't be wrong.
What is this woman talking about? I can't get out of here fast enough. But it's like, oh my, yeah, that's a very specific nickname that you wouldn't just come up with. You know, it's not like baby girl or darling or
does
something.
Does sweetheart mean anything to you? And it's like, all right, come on now. But yeah, it's like, hey, this person wants me to call you Elmer Fudd. And you're like, yeah, that's what they call me. But I love a medium named Skeeter. So, well, thank you, Snossage.
Oh, yeah. Skeeter and Snossage.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Well, this last one is from Molly, and the subject line is, my friend is definitely not a psychic. Hey, ladies, love you both. I started listening at the beginning of the pandemic, so thanks for making that shit show more bearable. You're both the perfect combination of compassionate, raunchy, and zany. I've never felt so seen. Thank you, Molly. I want to preface this by saying that I am a skeptic, and not in the fun, open-minded way that Christy is a skeptic. Nope, I'm a real asshole about it. I mention this just so you can understand exactly how frustrating this situation is for me. This is the only thing that's ever happened to me that I have absolutely no explanation for, and it's been eating at my brain for over a decade. So, if you choose to read this one on a Freaky Friday, My hope is that you or one of my fellow listeners might have some idea what the hell happened here, aside from psychic abilities. Okay, so here we go. The year was 2009, and I was driving around with my best friend Nikki, and we were doing what we often did, playing a rousing game of person, place, or thing. I was the picker, she was the guesser. Now, it bears mentioning that Nikki has always been an exceptionally good guesser. Absolutely nothing supernatural, but definitely better at it than the rest of our friend group. Now, I'm going to walk you through how this particular round of person, place, or thing went. Nikki. Is it a person? Me. Yes, it's a person. This is a pretty easy one for her because I almost always pick person. Nikki. Are they a man? Me. Yes, a man. There are only so many options for this question, so still not very shocking that she got this one right. Nikki. Is he German? Listen, I know this is weirdly specific, but it's still not an out-of-the-blue question, seeing as I'm German. Makes sense, I might pick one of my countrymen. Me. Nope, not German. Okay, ladies, shit is about to get fucking weird, and I need you to be here with me. Nikki. Is it Bruce Lee? Me. Beginning to have an existential crisis. Yes. To be clear, neither one of us, separately or together, have any kind of obsession for or deep knowledge about Bruce Lee. Literally, the reason I picked him was because he's someone that I assumed she would have definitely heard of while not knowing very much about. We had never discussed him together. In fact, I was a little worried she might never guess correctly because I thought she might not know enough about him to ever get there. It's not like I had a book or a magazine in my house that was about Bruce Lee, or a documentary had just recently dropped about him. There is no reason that he should be at the top of her mind. I started freaking out and telling her she got it right, and how the hell did she get it right? She straight up didn't believe me, saying that I was trying to play a trick on her. Ladies, I was not. She maintained that I was just playing with her for years until she finally realized that there was no way I could keep this bit up for that long and that my absolute shock was genuine. So, she then said that she was pretty sure she had asked three more questions. Ladies, she did not. If there is one thing in my life I will forever remember with absolute clarity, it's this goddamn fucking round of person, place, or thing. I know what you're thinking. Nikki is obviously a psychic and either isn't fully aware of it or is trying to keep it from me because it's a secret. Well, that just simply can't be the case. If Nikki has any psychic abilities, this is the only time they've actually shown themselves. And if she had a drop of magical power in her, I would know immediately. She's always been obsessed with the woo and would do just about anything to have magical powers. I assure you, I would know exactly 2 seconds after she did something magical. So, that's it. Not at all dramatic or spooky, but it's been eating at my brain for nearly 15 years. Any insight into how the actual fuck she went from a non-German human man right to Bruce Lee would be greatly appreciated. The only other unexplained thing that's ever happened to me was a Mandela effect thing, but because I don't actually have any witnesses to that one, I've kind of just chalked it up to my brain doing a weird thing. Still strange, though, and I can absolutely send that one in, too, if you like. Love you both. Live long and prosper. Molly.
Oh, Molly. First of all, thank you for saying I'm an open-minded skeptic, because I don't think of myself like that. So I'm always worried I come across as... oh, just an asshole. But that's just all the time I worry about that. But I'm glad that it doesn't seem that way, because I am open-minded to it. And I think there's a lot to be said about this kind of stuff. If you're thinking real hard, Bruce Lee, mm-hmm. Lee, and your best friend is sitting right next to you, just, I mean, it happens in improv all the time. We talked about this on a Freaky Friday or an episode recently that in improv shows, it would happen throughout the night at the comedy club mm-hmm. that, like, you didn't see your friends perform or anything. Just
it's like floating sometimes, in the ether.
Yeah, the same, like, topics get brought up in shows, or the same suggestions are given by different audience members of different shows. It's just like it gets in the air and then it just kind of sticks there.
It's like it stands to reason, because there's so much we don't understand about the brain. And the Gateway Experience episode is like one millionth of what even is possible with the brain and what people actually study and all that. And I'm just like, if everything's molecules, a thought has to be a molecule. Like, you're not molecules, but like atoms. And then they probably float somewhere. Like, how do you, you know what I mean? Mm. I don't know how to explain it, but I do wonder how someone went from, it's a man and he's not German. Not even specifically like, no, he's just not German. And was like, it's Bruce Lee. I know I love already. That. That's so good.
I'd wreck my car. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
How? We got to start playing on our road trips. We can play person, place, or thing. My thing is, like, maybe she actually is psychic, but only in person, place, or thing. And she, because if you, that's your only psychic, you don't want to use it all the time because people would get irritated because we'd be like, okay, Christy, let's play. Meanwhile, I'm psychic. And I would just be like, and you're thinking of Julia Child. And you're like, I was thinking of Julia Child. Next round. And it's just, like, not fun anymore. So yeah, like, she let it.
This isn't fun. You just guessed it on the first one. I've spent 20 minutes trying to come up with somebody.
Yeah, so I think she just let it slip on accident. So she seriously is psychic.
Maybe so. If she is, she needs to show those skills a little bit more, because if I had psychic magical powers, I'm sorry if people get tired of it, but I'm using them all the time. Every day, every waking minute.
She's only psychic during person, place, or thing, which sucks because you'd be like, hey, is my trip going to go well? I don't know. What are the lottery numbers? I'm not sure. Should I
You got to frame
job
it in a
not?
Person, place, or thing. You're like, is it a person? No. Is it a thing? Yes.
It's a really
is
bad
it
thing.
Lottery numbers? Yes.
Hey.
Is it 7:15? That's, you see, you just got to walk it down. Walk it down to walk get the it. Answer that you want.
Mm-hmm. Walk it back down. Well, astronaut Edgar Mitchell believed in ESP and that people could send messages to each other. And he created the Institute or co-created the Institute of Noetical Sciences to test this very thing, which we talk about in Full Moon Energy. So there are true scientists out there doing tests of how does that work? That thing that we were talking about with the improv show of like, why are there the bubbling up of ideas and stuff like that? So we have a deep bench of listeners that are brilliantly talented and experts in all measure of things that run the gamut. And I'm sure amongst us, we've got somebody that knows what's going on with the old noodle and can figure out why it's possible that two best friends would be on such a wavelength.
Yeah.
That they would just, all you have to know is that it's a man who's not German. Bam, Bruce Lee. Gotcha.
Bam, Bruce right Lee. Now we're all going to immediately assume like, if it's a man that isn't German, Bruce Lee. So if a man is German, I'm going Dirk Nowitzki.
Okay. Going? I was going to say Bruce Lichtenstein, but that makes sense. That makes
My
more
second
sense.
Was Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then I was like, he's Austrian, not German. So
that's right.
So I'm sticking with Dirk. First idea, best idea.
I think Dirk. It's always Dirk. Wait, someone had a license plate that said DRK. If y'all don't know, he's a very famous GOAT Dallas basketball player, but it said like DRKNWSKI. Like, so it was like his name on the back of like a Tesla SUV. And I was like, could it be Dirk? But then I remembered I was exiting Gross Road in Mesquite, Texas. And I was like, 1,000,000%, there's no way it's Dirk. That's
you don't know.
So
he might know so some little barbecue spot back there that he's like,
I gotta go.
This is Soul the best barbecue.
He's going
I've
to Martinez. Yeah, he's going to get them nachos from Martinez.
He's got to go to enchiladas. He's like, it's bottomless margarita night.
Yeah, I pulled up next to it and it was a mom. And I was like, are you? Nope, you're not Dirk. I'm sorry. Enjoy.
Dirk's
and
mom?
Your kid's very cute. Yeah, it was her the whole time. Well, damn, I'm not sure, Molly, what the answer is, but I call upon our deep bench of listeners. So if y'all have an idea, please email it to us.
I think there's some things that are coincidences, and then there are some things that seem like it's just too weird for it to be a coincidence. Mm-hmm. So specific. There's, you know, as a, you're like, it's that energy that we were talking about again. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I've never thought of a thought being something tangible. So that's interesting to think of it, because to me, like, thoughts, feelings are just those.
I think the reason why I think that is because I think that in the movie, The NeverEnding Story Part 2, they have their thoughts and dreams in these like glass bubbles.
That's also in Wish.
So, oh, there you go.
Except their wishes are in the glass bubbles. So, yes, perhaps that's where all of our things are kept up there in the sky. And sometimes they bump into each other. One bubble bumps into the next.
I don't want mine to smash up. That's when I'm like, did that happen? But yes, Molly, also please send in your Mandela effect thing.
Yes.
I'm always down
like,
to hear that.
What was it? I'll tell you right now. Because all the time, people will close out their emails like, also, this really wild thing happened if y'all want to hear about it. And it's just like a snippet. And I'm like, yes, I do. And I want to hear about it right now. Yeah. So you but y'all like to tease us. I see what you're doing.
All right,
you're
like, yeah, it works.
Well, you'll keep us on our toes. But yes, please send that in because I want to know what this Mandela effect is that you've got going on, Molly.
Please do. Well, thank you for sending that in. I can't wait to hear what everybody's hypotheses are. Thanks, everybody, who sent your stories in today. What a lineup.
Absolutely. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next. We also release an archived bonus content once a month for our free listeners. And you can dive into over 800 hours of bonus content if you join our patron. But if you don't want to commit right away, Heather, what can they do?
You can sign up for a free trial right now. And if you want, you can listen to our latest mini-sode that just dropped on the criminalization of the Juggalos. We go We go into the history of the band as well as their relationship, contentious relationship with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, ICP versus FBI. That's three letters. Oh. My money's on ICP. I'm just saying. tune in.
We also give ourselves new nicknames, which are pretty great.
Yes, we do. So definitely tune in to hear that. And you can also attend our live stream, our next Q&A is 4:20 at 2 p.m. Central.
A hoot and a holler.
So much fun. And it's going to be at 2 p.m. Central, so hopefully on a Saturday. So hopefully that will accommodate some new listeners who can't make it on our weeknights. We also have some every week bonus content, whether it's true crime headlines, Judge Christie, unpopular opinions, Ask Reddit, Emma the Asshole, Relationship Advice, Dear Sinister. We mix it up and we rotate them through. So there's a huge, long back catalog for you to binge, as well as the new is coming out every week, so tune every on week. In. Don't forget to head to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. And if you are a patron, head to the pinned post on Patreon to get your discount merch code.
Yes, stack up on those merch codes. Mm-hmm. While you're on our website, you can also review the show. We make it super simple to review it and to leave 5 stars if you would be so kind. Follow us on socials and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to all the live show tickets. Full Moon Energy back in less than a month is when we go out on our first leg. So
yeah.
I believe we have 14 shows.
It's going to be so fun.
Check the website, sinisterhood.com/live shows, to see cities we're coming to and venues and tickets.
And please send us all your recommendations. Thank you to everybody who sent them so far.
Thank you.
We're keeping a list, so we can't wait. You can follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. You can check out full video versions of the episodes on our YouTube channel. They drop early and ad-free on Patreon, and then they drop on YouTube a few days later. And you can also check out longer clips from Freaky Friday. We're doing a one story a week from Freaky Friday, both on YouTube as well as our TikTok. And we have some clips on TikTok. We're going to be going live there soon from the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. So make sure you are following us on TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast. Speaking of 420, we're doing a special on Cameo. The first few people who sign up for Cameos between now that you're listening to this and 420 get a Cameo for only $20. Terms and conditions apply. Go to cameo.com/sinisterhood and see if you can snag one of those $20 Cameo spots, because I got a horse head and a lady body, and I'm ready to show it.
Yeah, the menagerie's ready. So
the menagerie stands ready. And, you know, if it's a 421, let us know if you want it to be a 421. We can make that happen, and we'll fulfill it. Normally, we do the cameos first, and then we engage in 420. But if you would like it, we can stack them up and do a bunch of 421s all together for you.
Well, I was going to say we'll do whatever you want, but then I'm always like,
we can do
terms and conditions apply. Yeah.
I'll do anything. Terms and conditions apply. AKA, I'll just be like, no, thank you. I would not do that. But yeah, please holler at us. We'll smoke a corn skull for you. Cameo.com, Sinisterhood. Where are you at on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the World Wide Web at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.